Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. Mark Reardon.
The heart of America is not government. The center of America is not Washington, D.C. The center of America is the neighborhoods where 330 million Americans are raising their kids and trying to put food on the table and trying to love their neighbors.
Mark Reardon.
There's nothing worse than a reckless jackass who thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
I am the smartest man alive!
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Well, good afternoon on a Wednesday as we try to get some snow meltage. It was so cold this morning. So cold. Sue, what was it when you got up?
At 9.
That's ridiculous. That's just too cold, right?
It was 9 because I do the first traffic report on KEZK at like 5:12, and it was 9.2, and this is a thermometer that we have in the front bush.
When I went outside to walk the dog.
At your house?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's accurate. That's Sue's house weather temperature.
Right.
Well, outside of our house at 6:30, it was 8.
Woo!
In South County.
It goes down. It went from 9 to 8 and then back up.
Here's the good news. I don't get up as early as you two. And by the time I got up, it was like 12 degrees. But so here's how you kind of know that it's really, really cold. So, and I'm sure I shouldn't be doing this, and I'm inviting people to steal my car, although it's locked when I do this.
Wait.
Okay. I start it remotely. Like, you guys know this. I do it here, right? At a quarter till 6, I start my car. And I let it run. And so I did that this morning. For probably 12 minutes, I get in the car. The heat is cranked as much as possible. I got back home. It only takes me, 15 minutes total to do this. And it was still not warm enough in the car. That's when you know it's really cold,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it was bad. And then tomorrow, it's in what, the 40s? And then the 50s?
Right.
Yeah, maybe close to 60 on Friday. And as you know, I'm not very happy about that because I'll be in the desert. And it's only going to be about that temperature on Friday and Saturday in the desert, which does not make me happy. All right, we have a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. So this is interesting. Every time, Fred, you've been around the old news business and radio for a long time, every time you talk about a ceasefire and a conflict, guess what happens? There's a fire part of that. Yeah. There's not a cease part of that. So I don't know exactly. We got video of people kind of high-fiving and dancing in the streets in Gaza. This first phase is going to involve 33 living hostages. That's very significant because some of the bodies, part of the agreement here is the bodies of anyone who might be deceased that was held in captivity is supposed to be released to the families as well. So 33 hostages being released over 42 days in exchange for the release of Palestinian prisoners, some of whom are murderers. So this is, Israel's given up something here as well. The captives released in the first stage would be children, women, injured people, and those 50 and older. The second stage would be hostages and Israeli soldiers held captive by Hamas. Israel says there are about 60 living hostages in Gaza. Israel will agree to allow hundreds of thousands of Palestinian civilians who have fled Israel's bombardment in the south of Gaza to return to their homes in the north as long as some unspecified security measures are in place. We don't know much about that at this point. There's going to be a buffer zone in Gaza. The military presence in the corridor, it's called the Netzarim Corridor, and I might be pronouncing that incorrectly. That is a little unclear at this point. Right now, there's a plan for three hostages to be first released, a process that's going to take 48 to 72 hours and maybe longer to reach the deal. Other hostages will be released during the six-week ceasefire and will be released in groups. So this is all good news. The Biden administration, of course, taking a victory lap today. He's trying to claim that this was all him. I think Jenny's cut. Yeah, of course, because, well, any coincidence that Trump's about to take over here and they finally do this deal? Of course there is. There's Jennings on CNN.
I do think that all sides agree that Trump's hand in this has made a difference one way or another.
Yeah, they don't want to deal with Trump. He's been perfectly clear. He has not vacillated about his message that if they don't send our people back, there's going to be hell to pay. And thank God he has been on that message and he has not wavered from it. He's not stepped back from it.
You know, that was the first voice was Abby Phillip. I was actually surprised that she sort of gave Trump a little bit of credit there in all of this. There's a couple of different things that I wanted to play when it came to reaction here this afternoon. Brett Baer giving some credit.
There was a lot of pressure. There was a demand that hadn't been there. Now, Witkoff and others praised the Biden administration for working together on working on a deal over weeks. But it really is, to the credit of President-elect Trump, that he put kind of force behind it, not just to Hamas leaders, but also to the Israelis. We have to remember that the pressure goes both ways, and Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister, would want to do something in good light with the incoming administration and the incoming president.
Yeah, there was give and take, you know, in this ceasefire agreement. Now, here's Biden. He was asked if Trump gets credit, right? And this was a relatively diplomatic answer, I would say.
This is the exact framework of the deal I proposed back in May. Exact. I knew this deal would have to be implemented by the next team. So I told my team to coordinate closely with the incoming team to make sure we're all speaking with the same voice, because that's what American presidents do.
All right, so there you go. Yeah, not really. It's right, all me, but we are communicating with the incoming administration. So that is one of the big stories here that we would be following this afternoon. I am absolutely thrilled that I can come on the air this afternoon and tell you that there are no new fires in Los Angeles. And here's what I'll tell you from listening to the coverage here. The winds have really, really been significant. They've had some sustained winds of 40 to 50 miles an hour, some gusts over 60 miles an hour. But I was listening. I've been monitoring KNX in Los Angeles. Our friend Brian Ping, who's a St. Louis native, he anchors at night. But, I mean, I'm on my car saying, and you can do this with 97.1 FM Talk. You say, Alexa, play 97.1 FM Talk, and it'll do that. I've done that with KNX in Los Angeles, listening to a lot of the coverage. Some of the stuff I was listening to this morning is what happens with these kids with schools, right? They're trying to figure all that out. But the good news is these winds are going to completely die about 5 o'clock this afternoon Pacific time. So as we get into our evening hours, the winds are going to just completely go away, and then they're going to start coming from the ocean for the next few days, which is good news. So they've done, you know, it kind of makes you wonder how last week was so bad, considering they've been on top of everything certainly since Thursday. That shows you, I think it proves to you how little preparation was done in advance of what happened in the Palisades on Tuesday and in, you know, some of the other areas near Pasadena in particular. We have, I think we have Brian. Do we have Brian Ping coming up this afternoon? I can't remember.
Not today.
Okay. I couldn't remember. Oh, he's going to join us tomorrow. Ann Wagner's coming up here in a few minutes. Andrew Bailey, the Attorney General of Missouri, in the 5 o'clock hour. We mentioned yesterday, you know, when we had John Ziegler on, and I didn't realize this until Paul Ross told us this, who's a local aviation specialist, that the red stuff, the pink stuff that's being dropped as the retardant in the LA area, that comes from a company here in St. Louis. It was the former Monsanto Chemical Division. That's what Paul told us. And they don't make it here, right, Fred?
Right, right.
But it's being used. Perimeter Solutions in Clayton will be the company that does that. And Jeff Emery, who is one of the leaders on their team, is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour. One of the things, let me go back to yesterday for a couple things here. Pete Hegseth. And let me just say this. There were confirmation hearings today. I can play a little of this audio for Pam Bondi, the Attorney General nominee. She held up very well this morning. a lot of the country probably didn't see this, but I was monitoring a separate Fox feed this morning, mainly because of the fire, but they were showing a lot of the hearing with Marco Rubio, of course, Secretary of State nominee, and even Democrats. You know, as much as Tim Kaine yesterday was a jackass when it came to Hegseth, he was extremely complimentary of Marco Rubio, and he's going to get some Democrat support as he moves through with his confirmation. But let me go back to Pete for just a second here, because we played Jennings on Hamas, and he was really good on this. Look, they try to act on CNN that this guy has, you know, no experience whatsoever. This was weird, too. Let me just play this. This was Richard Blumenthal, who is Democrat from Connecticut, right? I didn't really even understand. I think he's trying to play gotcha. Yesterday, I'd missed this with Pete Hegseth, but you tell me what he's doing here, because I don't think it really works.
How many men and women currently serve in the United States Army?
Senator, the United States Army, 450,000 on active duty, sir.
And how many in the Navy?
And the Navy is 425, sir.
Well, it's 337 this year. How many in the Marine Corps?
175,000, sir.
172,300.
Okay.
Those numbers dwarf any experience you had by many multiples.
I don't really know
what he's
saying there. Fred has a theory.
My theory is that he's saying you can't lead that. That's many more, hundreds of thousands of people more than you've ever led before in your life. So
I see.
You're over your head when it comes to trying to provide leadership for that large of a group of people.
Right. I think he's.
That's what I think.
I think Dick Blumenthal is in over his head, is trying to answer a question. You're ask a question because it sounded like idiotic.
I think one of the senators in the questioning yesterday brought up the fact that, well, how many people does he supervise?
Well, right. Exactly. So then Jennings, you know, because the CNN panel, they're going after Pete, of course.
Yes, he was very articulate and polished, and he's a TV host. That's his main qualification. I know in TV we sometimes get confused.
Why do you denigrate this man's service?
I'll go back to that in a second, but let's face it. Do you remember, I'm going to have to harken back here just a little bit, 4 years ago when Mayor Pete was confirmed, did anyone on the CNN panel say that the only qualification he had was he's gay? Because that's pretty much the only qualification he had. I guess he was a mayor, too, of a little tiny town. But he was gay, and that's why he got the nomination.
I don't understand. 20 years,
Scott,
decorated, Ivy Leaguer. He's a TV host.
Scott.
That's all he is. That's not his main qualification.
That is his name.
Got hot on the CNN set.
Not every member who serves deserves to be in charge of the DOD.
They're yelling at each other here.
Is that he's a TV host. And I'm sorry, that's just baloney.
Do you think he would have been chosen for the job?
All right, they're not getting anywhere there, but this is how it kind of wraps.
Just to be clear, Scott, I hear you say that because I remember Pete Hegseth said it. I think you should recall that there have been people who have run the Pentagon who have been in war, even if they are officers. They have been in war. Their service doesn't get to be denigrated either.
I'm not, but I think he's closer to the average enlisted man who has been deployed than anybody that's been up
Fair
in this
enough.
Job.
So I was pretty impressed. I watched a lot of the hearing yesterday. I think Pete Hegseth handled himself extremely well. Even if you go back to Blumenthal, he's trying to play gotcha with the numbers there. It didn't work. He was off on the Navy numbers, but he really held up exceptionally well. He's going to be confirmed. Okay, Rubio is going to be confirmed. Pambani is going to be confirmed. Tulsi Gabbard, here's what's happening on Capitol Hill. Tulsi's made a couple of Republicans a little nervous during her meetings on Capitol Hill, not explaining some things relating to the jobs accurately, so there's been a little bit of concern. But most of this, I think, at this point, we'll track this as media-driven, because they realize now that they cannot bring down any of these other nominees. Hegseth's going to survive, right? So now they're going to move to Tulsi Gabbard. Now, that's the one nomination. If I had to pick any, I didn't think Pete was going to make it only because of the media, you know, narrative when he was nominated. It wasn't because I didn't think that he should be confirmed. I've learned a lot about him here in the past couple of months, and, you know, I like it, and I think he's going to be great in the position. Tulsi, I like her. I like where she's come on board with Trump, but does she have the qualifications for DNI? I don't know, and we're going to find out. But my expectation at this point is all these nominees are seemingly having a relatively easy time getting through. Then you have the House, and Ann Wagner's going to join us here in a few minutes. We'll talk about this. But the House, I don't think I talked about this yesterday, did I? The House passed this bill banning trans athletes from competing in women's sports. It's a complete common sense legislation. It goes to essentially, this would because this is only public institutions. But essentially, it would it was 218 to 206 to ban trans girls and women from sports in federally funded schools by amending Title IX. So you had hysteria on the part of AOC and the Democrats. They got some talking points together. Here's how they tried to convince their colleagues and the American people that this was a bad piece of legislation to save little girls from having to compete against little boys with penises. But here's what they said.
This obsession with monitoring kids' genitals is absolutely the problem. Yes, genital examinations into little girls in this country.
That empowers pedophiles and predators.
What?
Girl athletes who could be subject to genital inspections.
All girls at risk of intrusive questions and physical genital examination.
So I have 3 minutes of this. They all, every progressive member, not all Democrats, you know, were against this, but they all went up and said the same thing about this genital inspection thing.
We have to verify her gender by an exam of her external and internal anatomy. Traumatizing girls who happen to be late in physically maturing or naturally have a more athletic build to satisfy extreme political agenda.
Okay. All right. This is such nonsense. Look, girls like Leah Thomas and others, or I'm sorry, like Riley Gaines and others, have had to share locker rooms with boys. Isn't that genital inspection? The only genital inspection that's going on right now is by the boys staring at naked girls in locker rooms because you have school districts that are allowing this to happen. It's horrifying. It's one of those common sense issues. It's 85-15. It's 90-10. We have members of the United States Congress that just don't get it. And they feel, this is what Democrats do all the time. They feel it's more important. Let's reverse this a little bit, because the criticism on the part of Democrats is, oh, there's not very many of these, girls with penises out there. There's a minimum number. It doesn't affect anyone. Well, it doesn't matter, because one or two of those could affect my daughter if she's trying to play sports in the future, anyone else's daughter. But on the other hand, if your entire focus is going to be on the trans girls, protecting women, right? Little girls, they're very concerned about
this.
Right. What about the other little girls? What about my daughter?
Care.
What about everyone else? And this is what they do. I've told you this time after time after time. Go back to Obamacare. It was never about those of us who had health insurance. We were lied to time and time again that it was about reducing premiums, which never happened. No, it was about the people who didn't have health insurance. And by the way, they still lie about all that. Throughout the campaign, one of the things that's frustrating about the American media is they never fix these things. This claim that they're going to take away, it'll start here again probably very soon. Trump's going to take away pre-existing conditions. You won't be able to be covered. It's a bunch of nonsense. Pre-existing conditions have been codified into federal law for 30 years. The only time you don't get covered for something now in this country, and think about it, ladies and gentlemen, if you're sitting on the sidelines and you don't have insurance, or you have insurance and you gap your insurance and you roll the dice and you say, if I get cancer, it won't matter. Well, it will matter if you gap your insurance. But if you don't, you're protected. So they lie over and over and over again. And I don't think Republicans do a good enough job at defending themselves on some of this stuff either. Speaking of Republicans, Ann Wagner is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes as we get rolling here on a Wednesday edition of the Mark Reardon Show. Hang in there.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got Sue's News coming up in the next hour. I mentioned Attorney General Andrew Bailey in the 5 o'clock hour, and then Shannon Horn. Actually, we're not exactly sure who the guest might be, but somebody from Perimeter Solutions, which is located in Clayton, formerly part of Monsanto, and then Solutia, but they're the company that is making the red flame retardant being used out in L.A. We thought that was kind of interesting with a local angle, so that's coming up as well a little bit later. Plus, an audio cut of the day. Very busy on Capitol Hill, on the Senate side in particular, with some of these confirmation hearings. On the House side, they're starting to move on the agenda. Our own Congresswoman Ann Wagner from the 2nd District here in Missouri with us this afternoon. Ann, how are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year to you and your listeners. And yeah, it is crazy up here. We've got inauguration on Monday. I kind of feel like Ticketmaster at the moment. So we're giving out hundreds and hundreds of inaugural tickets to constituents, and a lot going down. I just got back from a trip over the weekend to Mar-a-Lago with the president, President Trump, and a number of members. He had different groups in and talking about securing our border, about the Tax Cut and Jobs Act reauthorizations, and unleashing our oil and gas production. I mean, you name it, getting rid of all these ridiculous Green New Deal subsidies and hopefully bringing down costs for everyday Americans. So there's a lot going on, and he told me that on day one, he is going to he's got about 100 executive orders that he will start signing starting on January 20th. So we are excited to take things back here with the trifecta and to have some real deliverables for the American people.
Well, I want to talk about some of the specifics there in a second, but let me just ask you about the tone and the feeling in Washington. You've been there with different administrations. You've been there when you're in the minority. That's not as fun. The trifecta, you just mentioned that. But you also, I think, and I've talked to folks inside the swamp and outside, I can even sense it from here in my studio. There's a different tone in Washington. Oh, sure, AOC is still crazy, but are you detecting a little difference at the start of this next Trump term?
There most certainly is, and I will tell you what, the Trump team is very, very organized. They're cohesive. They've got their team together. They are literally doing listening sessions. So much work ahead of time. I mean, look at this incredible ceasefire deal that, frankly, President Trump was able to secure today between Israel and, yeah, and Gaza, and to get I know it's not all of them, and we're living and fighting for the day when all of those hostages come home and we get rid of Hamas for good out of Gaza, but to have at least 33 released. Three of whom should be Americans, because these are folks that are over 50 years old. I know we have more Americans still there, and as I said, well, we are not going to stop or rest until they're all home safely and released, and that we are sure that Hamas is eradicated here. But that's Trump. Trump got that done. It took Biden a year and a half of navel gazing, and nothing has happened. And here we are. So it's a different feeling. Last week, we passed the Laken-Riley Act that went after illegal immigrants that are here that are committing crimes like they did against poor Laken-Riley, the nursing student, and making sure that state attorneys general like Andrew Bailey and others are able to sue the federal government for failing to properly ensure immigration law and to take them into custody. So,
let's talk about that, because, you know, many, many members of Congress did not support that, including one of our new members here, Wesley Bell. I don't understand. Even Fetterman, you know, in the Senate, and you probably see, he said, look, if you can't support this, this is why we lost the election. So good for them to continue in these mistakes moving forward. But that is tone deaf with the American people for sure.
It is tone deaf. And I will tell you that on the Laken-Riley Act in particular last week, we had 48 Democrats in the House that did vote for it. And the Senate did proceed by a vote, I think, of 84-9 to move forward on the bill. So I'm hopeful it's going to make it through the Senate. And when you talk about a new day, stuff like this that we brought in the last Congress that they just brought down, the Democrats, this stuff has passed and is passing. And tomorrow is even, we're going to take it a step further. And this is a bill that's called the Preventing Violence Against Women by Illegal Aliens Act that actually would allow deportation of any immigrant, whether you're legal or illegal. First of all, you are not allowed to come in. And if you get here, we are going to immediately deport you if you've committed a sex offense, a domestic violence, child abuse, child neglect, anything in your home country. So we are, and we're going to get Democrats on this too. So we are seeing a new day here in Washington, D.C. I hope the Democrats are waking up to see what the incredible mandate that President Trump got by winning every swing state, by winning the popular vote. As I said, we're hitting the ground running, and we're not waiting until an inauguration day on Monday. And we had a big bill yesterday that dealt with men
sports.
And women's sports.
Yeah, that was the next topic because, look, President Trump has put this in these terms. A lot of this, and I've said this too, a lot of these issues are not even close. These are common sense issues. But here again, you got Democrats. I mentioned AOC going up there and claiming, they're making this claim that you guys are passing something that would allow for genital inspections of little girls, which is utterly ridiculous. But that's, I guess that's the best they have right now, Ann.
Well, and this is what was really disappointing. And I thought we would get more Democrats yesterday, like we did on the Lincoln Riley Act. And this was a bill called the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act. And basically what it says is very common sense, is that federal funding for any educational institution, and I mean from pre-K all the way through university, is dependent upon women's sports being reserved for biological girls. This is going to make sure that everything that I fought for, that we fought for long and hard, for equal opportunities under Title IX, which means the right for women and girls to have access to athletic opportunities, scholarships, medals, Olympics, all of these things actually are preserved. And we will cut off federal funds to those educational institutions that step outside of those bounds of Title IX. So, I mean, we got, I think, only two Democrats on that in the House. So that infuriates me, and it does most of my two-thirds, three-fourths of Missouri's 2nd District is suburbia, and the moms and dads that have young girls and women involved in sporting activities, as we all
like me. Yeah,
are livid about the fact that, and it's not just that we're putting these girls at a greater risk of injury, but opening up the door for men and boys to completely undercut Title IX and to steal our girls' scholarships,
not acceptable,
their championships. Everything that they deserve as female athletes is an anathema for me and for so many across our country. It's common sense, as you said. I thought we passed it, and we passed it last Congress, too, I will tell you. But this is something that we're going to be able to get across the finish line, but we are going to need a Republican Senate to do so, and a president who will sign it.
Hey, let me take you back a couple weeks here. We don't have to spend a lot of time on this, but you had another speaker's race, and it was close. And you had a couple of members out there, including Tom Massey in Kentucky, that were trying to be rabble-rousers. I like the fact that Congressman Onder, who, of course, is another new member from this area, and when I reached out to Bob Ann, I said, okay, because I thought maybe he wouldn't support Chauncey. He goes, I'm not crazy about some of the CR stuff, but we got to get our agenda going and moving. And I think that that's where most members were, right?
Absolutely. We had there were two that were flipped at the end. I mean, Speaker Johnson won that vote on the first ballot. We did have to hold it open for another 15 or 20 minutes, and two members were willing to go ahead and change their vote. And Bob Onder has been a terrific addition to our delegation and has been working with us. You know, I have to say, I was there at the inauguration of Mike Kehoe earlier in the week before I dashed to Washington, D.C., and even Mike Kehoe, yesterday, one of the very first things that he did was have a conference call with the entire Missouri Democrat delegation,
wow,
congressional delegation, and he had it not just with the Republicans, which was so wonderful and so refreshing, but Emmanuel Cleaver, Reverend Cleaver from Kansas City, and Wesley Bell from the 1st District. We are so pleased to have him on board, and everyone, Democrat and Republican, pledged that they'll be there to support and back,
I like that,
Missouri.
Yeah.
And it's been terrific.
What?
And Bob Onder's been very much a part of that too. So we've got a young delegation, a new delegation in many, many different ways, but we are getting things done, and we are definitely working in concert. And I'm grateful to my good friend Congressman Wesley Bell for some of the inauguration tickets that he was willing to share with me. So
all right. Well, I got a few things about Wesley I'm not thrilled about, but we'll save that for another time. But listen, have fun next week with the inauguration, and we'll see what happens with some of the, you know, the early days of the administration, because I think a lot of people they're excited, but they also, and I think you guys know this, and President Trump knows this, they want to see things get done.
That's why they're going to see at least 100 executive orders, I think, starting on day one. And then we have to codify those to make sure that they are in law and lasting going forward. So that's our job here in Congress. But it's going to be a new day, and we can't wait. We're excited.
All right, Ann, thank you so much. Have fun with it. Happy New Year. We'll talk soon.
Same to you. Take care.
All right, that's Ann Wagner, and a lot of work to do, obviously, in Washington. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We have Sue's News in the next hour. But there's an interesting, you know, this is something I've experienced, interesting story, front page STL Today right now, about how the mail is not being delivered around St. Louis.
Oh, yeah. A friend of mine texted me this morning about that. She hasn't had it in like 10 days.
Oh, my goodness. We'll have some details coming up. Oh, my goodness. I haven't even talked about the unbelievable Mizzou basketball game last night, but I have another story surrounding that to share after 4 o'clock before Sue's News. And, Sue, remember the adage, neither snow nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night. We got a lot of gloom of night lately with the sun, you know, popping down so early. Stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. That's the United States Postal Service. Now, I want to make it clear here when we talk about this topic, I'm not targeting, you know, the mail carriers out there. Ain't their fault, right? They're doing their best. I go to the post office in Fenton a lot and in Valley Park, and those folks are great. I had to go there to track down Jennings' present last week. But people are not getting their mail, and I have some experience with this that goes back to last March when I sent a package. Some of you might remember the story to Minneapolis. My wife was doing some work up there, and it literally took 3 weeks, and it was stuck here. We could pull up the tracking.
And watch
we knew it was
sit.
Up in Hazelwood, right? And we just couldn't go get it. So the story, and you say you got some friends reacting to this too, residents. This is the STL Today story right now. Residents across the St. Louis area reporting empty mailboxes, seldom seen letter carriers, and other issues with mail delivery since the storm. Now, I've gotten mail, I think we missed it maybe 3 days last week, but they seemingly have been coming ever since Thursday or so.
I was probably didn't have it for 6 to 7 days, but this week it started up.
Well, and you're in the city, and that's, you know, a little hard to...
Yeah, because our streets aren't plowed.
But in the city, they have... You still have to walk, right? The postal carriers walk from door to door.
Uh-huh. They do. Well, my friend is in Kirkwood, and she says, I've got nothing.
Well, there's
for
someone...
For 10 days.
Yeah, this someone quoted in the STL Today story from Kirkwood, Sue Hommuller says, I haven't seen a U.S. mail truck in 2.5 weeks now. I don't know what the heck they're doing.
She doesn't either. Yeah, that's what Jen said. She's like, what is happening? 10 days? She said, you can get up my driveway, my, you know, it's clear to my porch. What are they doing?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
That seems like a really, really long extended period. In the local paper story, they say that some of the mail carriers, and you understand this for a couple of days, some of the mail carriers couldn't even make it to work
after
the storm.
Well, I get that. I get that.
And you have trucks that couldn't get out of downtown. I guess they have a processing plant, and right after the storm, they couldn't even get out of the processing plant, the mail trucks. So that So this was one of those things that was a culmination of a lot of different factors, I think. But this kind of leads me down the path of, I don't know if something might happen here with DOGE or whatever else happens with the administration. But we now know, and I think it's pretty clear, we don't need the mail to be delivered every day. I know we're used to that and everything, but how about we just do 5 days a week or something like that? Maybe we do 4 days a week.
Well,
because why do we need the mail every day? We're not getting it every day anyway.
Well, that's probably true. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. I will say that even on the days we weren't getting mail, near the end of those days, in other words, the 5 and 6 days where we weren't getting mail, the early ones, nothing. But near the end, they were stopping mail trucks and delivering packages.
Okay,
just nothing mail related. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe it's just me, but let's just talk about the mail, the stuff that goes in the mailbox, not the packages, right? What do you get in the mail that you need? Like, the only thing I get are bills that I haven't said should be paperless, you know? So all of those. And, of course, then I get solicitations. I got Christmas cards from people, but outside of that, I don't get any mail that's valuable.
But if you send off for, let's say you want a new, I read on Nextdoor, you know how people are there.
Oh, my God, don't get me started on Nextdoor. That's the most annoying thing.
It is. But this woman was waiting for her driver's license, which she had renewed, and two had been lost in the mail. She was waiting for her third, and she has a trip next week.
Oops.
So, of course, the mail hasn't shown up.
Yeah, that's bad.
And there are some items that you still need.
I know that, but I mean,
your
for the most part,
or something.
When you go into the mail, you grab a thick bunch of, you know,
nothing.
campaign literature and, you know, some flyers and stuff like that. Every once in a while, I might be surprised. And then I get something from the IRS. I'm always thrilled about that piece of mail, right?
Yeah.
So I'd rather not have that. I don't know. I just think it's interesting. And there's a lot of people that are complaining right now, understandably so. And I get it because I had that frustration a year ago with the package. And then, you know, Jennings' package took about 10 days to get there. Now, that was somewhat on us because we mailed it 3 days before Christmas, 4 days. Well, and I knew it probably wouldn't get there on Christmas Eve, but it didn't get there till 9 days after Christmas Eve.
I just had, I ordered address labels. Okay, that's nice. They went to Arizona, to Minnesota. I mean, they went all over the place. You know how they give you the, here's where it's been.
You mean
Yes.
Like a little sticker
just
that has your address?
Just little stickers with the address on it. And they've been all over America, and they just arrived. I think they were out for 2.5 to 3 weeks.
That's nuts.
So there's not just that.
Yeah, that's
it's all kinds of crazy stuff.
Speaking of crazy stuff, I mentioned, they're really, I would say, these firefighters, as much as everything went wrong a week ago, these crews are doing an amazing job because there are fires that are popping up, and they're exterminating them. These winds are really brutal this afternoon. The good news is they're going to quiet down in a couple hours and maybe really, really quiet down, but they're facing 60 to 70 mile per hour gusts. Sustained winds in the 40s for sure when I was listening to some of the coverage out there earlier today. And you know who's out on the front lines of some of this? I think we're going to see more of this. Jay Leno. Usually when you see Jay Leno, you see him beat up because he fell down a hill or something like that. Like the poor guy's had two instances in the last year where he's been severely injured, right?
He has. And he's taking care of his wife who's got some issues
right
now. So Jay Leno's got a lot on his plate.
Well, but he's out there trying to serve meals and help out.
Well, it's so odd because it's 80 degrees. It's a beautiful day. I mean, to have hell and paradise within just a few feet of each other, you know, I mean, you think of Malibu, they named cars after it and perfumes and, oh, it's the sexy people. And now it's like a charred rubble.
Now, he really did hand out a lot of, you know, accolades to and praise for the L.A. Fire Department.
You know, I think the L.A. Fire Department is probably the best in the world. It's like a military, you know, I was at... In Afghanistan, Bagram Air Force Base. It looked like that. You pull in, kind of a hospital area here, men in tents sleeping over there, men and women doing things over here. I mean, they're doing it. They're coordinating with helicopters, and it's a really a military operation on the biggest scale. It's pretty amazing to watch.
You know, he's right about that. And that was the sense that I had. I kind of tried to relate some of this on Monday because I've just been, I'm not lying, I've been addicted to this stuff. And, you know, we've been talking about it on the air and I have friends out there. So Friday night into much of the weekend, I was monitoring Fox 11, which I have on my YouTube TV feed. And they cover some other things. Like today they were showing some of the Rubio hearings. But what I was watching in particular, Sue, what they were doing on Saturday with these drops, with the retardant, and with battling some fires that were getting out of control. It was really impressive. And my guess would be a lot of these firefighters are just as hacked off as everyone else, that they were put in a situation a week ago where they couldn't help people and save homes. One more cut here from Jay Leno.
Tell jokes and raise money for a cause, that's fine. You know, you talk to these guys and they're like, every guy looks like the guy in the brawny paper towel ad. Hi, Jay, and they shake your hand. I broke my hand. These are like men, and it just makes me laugh. So what can I do? I'm like the cook in the old gun, you know, the sort of wagon train movies, you know, that's me. I'm just helping out and trying to do what I can and just have fun. And they're so grateful. And, you know, the great thing is I haven't heard a political discussion for the last.
That's good.
Nobody's blaming this or that. They're fighting a fire. These guys have no opinion. I'm sure they have opinions, but it's not a blame game at this point.
Yeah.
I like that. I like Jay Leno. I always liked him, you know, maybe long for the days when the late night comedians weren't just doing politics. And he was always good and he had good guests. But obviously that was a different time. And then I didn't play this yesterday. This would have been a strong qualifier for audio cut of the day. Did you hear Kamala yesterday trying to encourage people? We're going to miss this, Sue. I hope she still has a presence after Monday, right?
And so it's critically important that to the extent you can find anything that gives you an ability to be patient in this extremely dangerous and unprecedented crisis.
She is overwhelmingly helpful, especially in times like this, I must say. Sue's News coming up after the top of the hour. Andrew Bailey at 5:07.
Get more at 971talk.com.